The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 7, text number 18. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari. Recorded on September 4th, 2012, in Timișoara, Romania.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo
Udara, Sarve,
Eva,
Ete, Jnani, Tu, Atma,
Eva,
Me, Matam, Astita, Sa,
Hi,
Yukta, Atma, Mam, Eva, Anuttamam, Gatim, Udara Sarva Evaite, Jnani Tvatmaiva Mebatam, Astitasa hi yuktatma.
Astitasa hi yuktatma.
Mam evanuttamam gatim.
Mam evanuttamam gatim.
Udara sarva evaite.
Udara sarva evaite.
Jnani tvatmaiva me matam.
Jnani tvatmaiva me matam.
Astitasa hi yuktatma.
Astitasa hi yuktatma.
Mam evanuttamam gatim.
Mam evanuttamam gatim.
Udara.
Udara.
Magnanimous.
Magnanimous.
Sarve.
Sarve.
All.
All.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Ete.
Ete.
These. Jnani.
Jnani.
One who is in knowledge.
One who is in knowledge.
Two.
Two.
But.
But.
Atma Eva.
Atma Eva.
Just like myself.
Just like myself.
May.
May.
My.
My.
Matam.
Matam.
Opinion.
Opinion.
Astita.
Astita.
Situated.
Situated.
Sa.
Sa.
He.
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 Certainly.
Certainly.
Yukta Atma.
Yukta Atma.
Engaged in devotional service.
Engaged in devotional service.
Mam.
Mam.
In me.
In me.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Anuttamam.
Anuttamam.
The highest.
The highest.
Gatim.
Destination.
Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. All these devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous souls. But he who is situated in knowledge of me, I consider to be just like my own self. Being engaged in my transcendental service, he is sure to attain me, the highest and the most perfect goal. Purport. It is not that devotees who are less in knowledge, who are less complete in knowledge, are not dear to the Lord. The Lord says that all are magnanimous because anyone who comes to the Lord for any purpose is called a Mahatma or great soul. The devotees who want some benefit out of devotional service are accepted by the Lord because there is an exchange of affection. Out of affection, they ask the Lord for some material benefit, and when they get it, they become so satisfied that they also advance in devotional service. But The devotee in full knowledge is considered to be very dear to the Lord, because his only purpose is to serve the Supreme Lord with love and devotion. Such a devotee cannot live a second without contacting or serving the Supreme Lord. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is very fond of his devotee and cannot be separated from him. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.68, the Lord says, Sadhavo hridayam mayam, sadhunam hridayam tvaham, madanyate najananti, nahangtebyo managapi. The devotees are always in my heart, and I am always in the hearts of the devotees. The devotee does not know anything beyond me, and I also cannot forget the devotee. There is a very intimate relationship between me and the pure devotees. Pure devotees in full knowledge are never out of spiritual touch, and therefore they are very much dear to me. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. So you don't have to worry. Any approach of the Lord, Krishna appreciates them. Even if you're filled with all dirt in the heart and you approach the Lord with some selfish desire, still, he says, well, this person is approaching me. Krishna recognizes you as a great soul. He recognizes us as great souls. Even if we come to him with all sorts of filth in the heart, begging for some material blessing. However, the intimacy of relationship between the devotee who's coming to the Lord to fulfill material desires and the intimacy of relationship for that person who simply wants to satisfy the desires of the Lord is vastly different. You see? It's a gulf of difference. You see? So one may think, well, is it better to have a very, very intimate relationship with the Lord or better to get that new car that I wanted, you see? Somebody might go for the new car, you see. But that's foolish. Because how long will that car stay new? You might have might wreck it the first day you take it out to drive. That happens sometimes. People get a new car, they go out to drive it the first time, total. It happens sometimes. It's a fact. Statistically true. So, why put all this energy into fulfilling material desires? I mean, it's not a very intelligent thing, really. Is it? Because there's no guarantee that thing you get, you're going to keep it very long. Actually, it's only according to your karma you can keep it. However long your karma will allow you to keep that thing, that for that length of time you can keep it. But beyond that, it's gone, finished. But when it comes to having an intimate relationship with Krishna, that is beyond the law of karma. You're not under any karmic restraints when you enter into a loving relationship with Krishna. Now you have thrown away all karma, you see. Sarva papebhyo mokshayishami, Krishna says. Sarva means all, papebhyo, sinful activities, karmic reactions. Mokshayishami, I deliver you from all of them if you surrender to me. So, Only a fool would not fully surrender to Krishna, really. Foolish person, is it? Less intelligent. So, unfortunately, that's our position, ladies and gentlemen, Prabhus, Matajis. We are less intelligent. That's the sad reality. It's embarrassing, you know, we hate to admit it, but it's a fact, we're less intelligent. Even though we've heard about the science of full surrender, we're still holding on to our cherished material desires. Profit, adoration, distinction, and so many other things. Holding on, you see, won't let go of them, you see. We're thinking, well, if I let go of these, how could I be happy? But we should take hint from such wonderful verses like this from the Bhagavatam to become an intimate associate of Krishna. You see, even in this present body, because an intimate associate of Krishna, even in your present lifetime, you see, that is possible. You simply have, as Prabhupada said, nothing to purchase except for Krishna. You have nothing, no other desire. You only want Krishna and nothing but Krishna. Krishna, 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 you see. So how do we develop that focus of consciousness? That focus of consciousness is developed through the process known as sadhana bhakti. Because in the beginning, our consciousness is splayed out like anything. It's jumping like a monkey from this branch to that branch, you see. Many-branched intelligence. Vavyasayat makabudir ekeha kuranandana bahushaka hirantasya buddhiyo vyasayanam. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita how the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. Many, many branches on there. So many branches here, jumping here, 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 jumping, 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 jumping. Irresolute. What does that mean, irresolute? It means they are not determined. They haven't resolved, firmly resolved that from now on I want Krishna and nothing but Krishna. All I want is pure bhakti and nothing else. You see, that's called being resolved. Okay? Just like we have New Year's resolutions, right? You do that here also in America. It's like a joke. Well, I'm going to eat and lose 50 pounds this year. You know, my New Year's resolution. But this is the real resolution. It's called New Existence Resolution. That now I resolve, from this moment on, I simply will do everything. I will give up all nonsense. All sense, nonsense thinking, speaking and acting. And from this moment henceforward, I will only think things that are favorable for Krishna consciousness. I will only speak things that are favorable for Krishna consciousness. And I will only therefore do things that are favorable for my Krishna consciousness. Do you think by doing that, making that resolution, you can do it perfectly? Maybe not. But I guarantee you, by making that resolution, you're going to do a lot better than if you don't make that resolution. I can guarantee you. And you can always make the same resolution the next day. You can always reaffirm your resolution. And each time you reaffirm it, it becomes more solid. And all the distractions become less prominent. Therefore, we can make that resolution every day. From now on, no more nonsense. I'm only going to think about Krishna, speak things that are pleasing to Krishna, and act for Krishna's pleasure from now on for all of eternity. We have to train the mind how to be focused. Dridha vratta. We have to train that mind how to be fixed on one point, and that point is bhakti. Our system is not mechanical, like the yogis. through deep breathing, through asanas, they still the mind so they can focus it on the super soul within the heart. That's a mechanical process. It's actually artificial. But the bhakti yoga process is natural. So I quoted the other day that very nice verse by Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. Tunde tandamani viteng vitanite sun tundavali labdiye karna krodaka dammani gatayate kunabhide braspiham chaita prangana sangani vijayate savendriyanam kritim no jane janita kriyadvir amritai krishneti varnidvai. Rupa Goswami says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna produced. Because when I vibrate Krishna, it dances on my tongue. And there's so much nectar, I need millions of tongues. When it enters the holes of my ears, there's so much nectar, I need trillions of ears. And when that Krishna dances in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is immediately conquered, you see. So the yogi, they try to mechanically, okay, mind, stay still. Stay focused, mind. Okay, mind, don't move this way. Don't move that way. Okay, mind, you stay right on this point, okay? Mind, don't budge, okay? You see? That was my first introduction to yoga. This yoga teacher, I got some home study lessons. And my first yoga lesson, meditation lesson, was to light a candle and sit there and turn out all the lights and stare at the candle. That was called meditation, you see. So this is the mechanical process, you see. But how long can you stare at a candle? But if there's something really beautiful, you see, a beautiful form, to sit and look at a beautiful person all day, you see, that's full of unlimited beauty, there's not even a tinge of ugliness in that person, just emanating unlimited oceans of beauty from his transcendental body at every second, you see. That's much more attractive than a damn candle flame, you know. So that's Krishna consciousness, you see. You get to meditate on a beautiful person, the source of all beauty. Anything you find beautiful in this world, a beautiful sunrise, a beautiful poem, a beautiful song, a beautiful bird, a beautiful flower, a beautiful girl, a good-looking guy, whatever you may find beautiful here, it's all just a little tiny fragment of a fragment of a fragment of infinitesimal, minuscule, fragmental portion of the unlimited beauty of Krishna, you see. So if you enjoy beautiful things, then if you just fix your mind on Krishna and you'll be fully satisfied. Because once you taste that beauty of Krishna, everything else appears ugly in comparison. I mean, you appreciate its beauty, but you see its beauty is coming from Krishna. Not that the world becomes ugly. A pure devotee sees that everything is beautiful, actually. Because he sees Krishna with everything and everything within Krishna. But his focus is 100% on Krishna. Although he sees other things, he sees them in relation with Krishna as the property of Krishna for the enjoyment of Krishna. He never sees anything to be used for his own personal sense of gratification. So this vision of the pure devotee is within our reach if we try for it, if we strive for it. In other words, Krishna consciousness movement doesn't just mean doing the external activities, you know, all the things we do, your duties, and those should be done first class. But while we're doing these duties, we should be cultivating inner consciousness also. There should be inner, inside our hearts, we should be trying to go deeper and deeper into this nectarian ocean of Krishna consciousness. The external activities help us to do that because we can't just sit down and meditate. We're not so pure to do that. We need to have devotional activities. Distributing books, Harinam Sankirtan, deity worship, so many things, Tulsi worship, So many activities that Prabhupada has engaged us in. This is to help us purify our consciousness. But here in the Singha, Hridare Nisinga, we sing every day. Do you know the inner meaning of Bihir Nisinga, Hridare Nisinga? This is described by Srila Prabhupada in his Bhagavatam purport. The actual meaning of Bihir Nisinga, Hridare Nisinga is this. Now, the literal meaning, Bihir means outside, and Bahir Nishinga Hridaye means within, without and within, you see. On the outside and on the inside. Nishinga without and Nishinga within. That's literally what it means. But there's a deep inner meaning that is realized by great pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada. And that inner meaning is, as Prabhupada so perfectly explains, that may Lord Nisringadev, you see, Hridaye Nisringa, may Lord Nisringadev dwell within my heart, killing all of my bad propensities, so that I may peacefully worship the Lord and Bahir Nisringa bring peace to the entire world. So our movement externally is bringing peace to the world, you see. We're a missionary society. Our goal is to bring peace to the whole world by educating the entire society and even the values of Krishna Bhakti externally. But on the so externally we have two, like the two tracks on the train running on two tracks. We have the external Krishna consciousness to revolutionize the world by spreading Krishna consciousness to every town and village. And we have the internal track to revolutionize our own hearts, revolutionize our own consciousness by taking it from the plane of matter to the plane of pure spirit, you see, bhakti. So in this way, we have our Krishna consciousness movement within and without. Push toward this movement, both within your heart and within this, and throughout this universe, you see, this is our Krishna consciousness. Within and without Krishna consciousness. If you simply act externally, you might be recognized as a great devotee. Sometimes it happens. Somebody acts very nicely externally. They're a big oil, they do so much, they accomplish so many things, so many books, so many temples, a big, big organization, and then they're gone, finished. Because they weren't doing anything in the inside, it was only externally they were cultivating Krishna consciousness. You see. If we just do it inside, then we're not being merciful. We're called Bhajananandi. You see, that's not good either. Because unless you're actually merciful, in other words, you can't actually get Krishna more than you're willing to give Krishna. Krishna wants us to share His mercy. If we just try to keep it to ourselves and not share with anyone, we will also not get, you see, we'll not be in the awakening of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada explains the best way to realize Krishna is to preach. So, the external activities we do are very important because they help us to get the internal awakening. But we should not neglect the internal awakening. You see, we should be very keen on the internal aspect of Krishna consciousness, chanting very good japa, getting rid of our bad habits in japa, you know, mispronouncing the rounds, not finishing them, sleeping in the middle of them. We all have so many bad habits. So many bad habits we have in our japa. How many of us are perfect in our japa? We have so many bad habits in our japa. There's different, all kinds of different problems in japa. It's like that one is called radar japa. You know, in the airport they have the radar goes like this back and forth, looking, scanning the horizon. So somebody chants japa like a radar device, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Who's coming to the temple, you know? What's that dog barking over there, you know? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's called radar japa. And then there's And then there's dive bomb. You know, in the World War II, they would fly real high to avoid being hit by the anti-aircraft guns. And they wanted to drop the bombs. They would come in, go down, and then release the bombs and go back up again. So dive bomber is like, you know. So this is dive bomber job. Hare Krishna. Dive bomber job. We have a problem with dive bomber japa also. So we have a problem with radar japa. We have a problem with dive bomber japa. Another one is called jabber japa. Jabber means, you know, like talking frivolously. Jabber japa. Hare Krishna. How are you doing, Prabhu? Krishna, Krishna, Hare. How's your dog? Ram Ram, Hare, Hare. Yeah, jabber japa. We have that problem too. You're chanting around, carrying on a conversation, trying to get around them while you're talking to somebody at the same time. You see. So we have these, what's the other one? Is there another one that I missed? I forget. Yeah, jabber japa, radar japa, and dive bomber japa. There may be a fourth one, but that's just an example. So we really should, take our japa as a very serious thing and not just thinking to get out of the way. This is actually the time when you get to have your own personal meeting with Krishna. Someone said, Prabhu, Prabhu, Krishna has come. And he wants to meet with you personally. He wants to have a private meeting with you. Say, well, that's all right. That's all right, I'm going to take a nap right now. And you know. Krishna has personally come to meet with you. You have your own personal private meeting with Krishna. You see? That's japa. That's your japa. And as I mentioned, I may have mentioned to you all, but I've been telling it at every temple I go, an amazing letter I read from Prabhupada to Balabi Devi Dasi. He told her, when you chant your japa, feel the presence of Krishna. You see, I think I told you all the other day. Feel the presence of Krishna. You see. That's how to chant japa. Feel the presence of Krishna. Krishna has come. He's giving you his association. Now give your heart and soul to him. Express your love for him. Express your surrender, your complete surrender and absorption in his service by chanting with love. You see. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So in this way, if we seriously cultivate the internal development, becoming learned in the scriptures, reading as much as possible, 24 hours a day if we have time, you see. Reading as much as possible Prabhupada's books, mastering this knowledge in these books. You don't need to go get a university degree, although one can do that for earning a livelihood. Papa didn't tell people to drop out of college. He had disciples that were in university. He had them finish their studies. Even while they were living in the temple, they were finishing their university studies. But this is the real university studies, you see. This knowledge is the real university studies. To become a master of this knowledge makes you puts you in the category of the most learned person, the most learned professor of wisdom, far beyond these so-called Nobel laureates, PhDs, is it? Far, far beyond the PhD or Nobel laureate. Anybody who's learned in this philosophy, he is the greatest scholar of Krishna consciousness. The greatest scholar of knowledge is the person who's learned in Prabhupada's books. So what do we know? It's just, you know, it's such a huge ocean of knowledge here. I mean, it's amazing. So every spare minute, every spare day, whenever we have time, read the books, hear Prabhupada's lectures, just go deeper, 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 deeper into the sublime teachings of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, I did not write the books, Krishna wrote these books. So it's not just some mental speculation by some, you know, scholar. These are divine revelations from Krishna himself. Every Prabhupada's purports are the same potency as the verses. And it's actually better than the verses in one sense, because it's written, it's spoken just for our modern age, you see. It helps us to understand the verses even better, Prabhupada's purport. So anyway, we have a few minutes left, and I can ask if there's any question.
May I please ask, how can we always think in a Krishna conscious way? When we are in our jobs.
Yes, you have to. How do you can one think in a Krishna conscious way, even if your job? Well, you have to connect your job with Krishna. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakura advises in one very nice bhajan, he says, "I am working not to support my household, but I'm working to support Krishna's household." So that income should be used for Krishna. That's the point. If you're a household or living on the outside, then you create a Krishna conscious ashram. A place is like the temple is a place of spiritual cultivation. Your home should also be a place of spiritual cultivation. So, and then whatever spare money you have, support the preaching, support the movement by giving your money, you see. So, of course, you need to have something for savings as well, so for retirement. So take care of your retirement, have money for emergencies, cover your expenses, and support the preachers. Support the preaching activities of this movement. So in this way, it will be service to Krishna. Just like my godbrother, Satsarupa Maharaj, he was working as a social worker at the time. When he joined the movement, he had a job with the social department. And one day, all the other boys were sitting around the temple all day, just, you know, soaking up the nectar of being with Swamiji all day long, just to be there talking with Swamiji's, you know, getting the nectar right there with Prabhupada, you know. And so he thought, what is it like to go to this job every day, missing all this nectar? So one day at his lunch, at lunchtime, he turned in his resignation and he came to the temple to give the good news to Swamiji that now I have quit my job and so I can just be with you all the time. And Prabhupada was not very happy. You know why? His job was paying the rent. So Prabhupada told him a story. Paid the rent for the temple. The temple rent was being paid by his job, and if he doesn't work the job, there's no more temple anymore. So his job was pretty important. It was paying the rent. You can imagine how dear he was to Prabhupada about working that job. So Prabhupada gave him a little story about one lady. Now this is only for an example. This is not to be imitated by our householders. It's an example only. There was a lady who had a paramour. She's a married woman, but she didn't like her husband very much. She had a secret lover. She was having a love affair with some other man. You see. So, but she didn't want her husband to find out. Prabhupada told the story. So what she did was she served her husband so nicely. The nicest cooking, the house was clean. He ironed all the clothes. I mean, everything was just the best housewife you could ever imagine, you see. So you can never imagine she had a paramour on the side, you see. When he went to work, she was off with the paramour. You can never imagine, because everything was first class. In her household activities, first class duties, everything first class. So Prabhupada told like that, see, Krishna, that job is like your husband that you don't really want to be married to. Yeah, but you're doing it very first class. But you're always the whole time you're just thinking your secret lover, your paramour, you see. So Krishna is your paramour. And you're doing a first class job so they can never imagine that you weren't really dedicated to their company. You know? Actually they think, well, this is our most dedicated employee. But actually you couldn't give a damn about their company. All you care is about Krishna. But for Krishna's service, you want to be seen as the most valuable employee in the entire company, you see. Even myself, I was working a job for MCI Corporation. I was an award-winning salesman for MCI Corporation. But I couldn't care less about MCI Corporation. You know. They would give me the award. And I still have the awards, you know, for a distinguished, you know, little plaques, just to show people how you can use everything for Krishna. I was working this job, and I was award-winning salesman for the company, you see. So another side is, you can take skills that you learn in your job and apply them in Krishna's service. I think that's why I got this sales job. Well, by learning how to sell, I mean, Krishna, what are we doing in Krishna consciousness? We're engaged in sales, right? So if I can become, I can get professional sales training from these people and practice so many hours a day under, you know, intense managerial scrutiny, how to be the top-notch salesman, I can turn around and use that for Krishna. Wow. I thought that was a win-win. It was. And before that, I was working as a computer programmer, and that was a full-time job previously. And the job I had, we were a credit bureau, which is people who keeps a company that keeps all the credit information and all the people's credit, you know, their loans, their credit cards throughout all of the U.S. It's a big thing, a big database, you know. So a bank would decide to join our credit union, and they would give us all the data of all of their customers, but it would be in their format, not in our format of our database. So my job was to take the data from this bank and tweak it and run it through, write a program, and it runs, all their data runs through this program, and it comes out in the right format for our database, you see. And every bank was a new program. Every bank had its own custom program. So any data that came in from that bank, it ran it through that bank's program. Zip, it's in the right format. So I was doing that for some time, and then I decided to retire from the corporate world. After about 3 years, I figured that was enough. And then I went to work for Bhakti Godhead magazine, and lo and behold, they needed somebody. They were doing a huge mass direct mail campaign to all the congregational members in North America to subscribe to Bhakti Godhead magazine. So what did they need? It was amazing. I couldn't believe how Krishna arranged it for me. Every temple has its own database and its own format, right? And so there had to be a program written for each and every temple to format that data for the database of our direct mail company. So I did the same thing I'd been doing working for the credit union. I turned and did the same thing for ISKCON. And I was so enlivened. Wow, you know. That skill I developed, now I'm using it directly in Krishna's service. And it was a huge marathon. I remember they gave me this assignment. Like I had three days. It was so intense. I had to make the deadline. I think I had to put off my browns for a couple of days and make them up later on. I couldn't even sleep properly. I just worked around the clock in front of the computer until I dropped dead. I dropped asleep, you know, until I just conked out. And then I would get up and keep working again. This 24-hour marathon until I got it all done. But I made the deadline, and we got all the data from all the temple. I used DBase 3 programming language at that time. For the credit union, I used IBM assembler language. That was really something. Whatever you have to do professionally to earn a living, you know, do a good job, you know, because you never know when you can use that training, that skill, that ability, or if nothing else, the self-discipline. Even if the exact same skill is not used, the self-discipline you have to cultivate to be successful in doing your job will enable you later on to do first-class, full-time service for ISKCON. That self-discipline itself is very, very important. To be punctual, to be alert, to be dutiful, you know, detail oriented, I think is one thing. To be very conscious of not making mistakes, you see. Because you're a job like that, you like a programming thing, you can't make any mistakes, it throws off everything. You have to be very conscious and do everything perfect, you see. You have to be a perfectionist, and like a computer programmer. You have to be a perfectionist. Everything has to be perfect. Every line of code has to be perfect. So those skills that you develop, you see, they can be used for Krishna. How to do everything very first class professionally. Prabhupada actually wanted us to recruit the college students to become devotees because they're very well trained, they're expert. You see, much more than somebody who could never, who wasn't qualified to go to college. You see, somebody who's qualified to go to the university, they go, they get the university training, they come out of the university. You see, they have a certain qualification that Prabhupada very much appreciated that we use for our movement. Any other questions?
Alcoolice, diluate și cu gelatina. Așa, și ne-am pus întrebarea de multe ori că dacă pot să le iau sau adică, nu, sunt diluate, dar...
Sometimes the medicines that she buys have alcohol or something like that that is not okay. Is it...
Yeah, it's okay. But don't take advantage of it, but... But if you have to take medicine without alcohol in it, you know, take what's necessary. That's all right. For medicinal purposes, yes, okay. Anything else? Yeah.
Sometimes we see devotees some actions, and inside I start, for example, to criticize her. How can I change this to into appreciation?
He's saying within himself sometimes he feels criticism about some devotees. So how he can change into appreciation?
Well, you have to just look for the good qualities. That's all. You have to think, well, I can see faults in this devotee, but wait a minute, what about my faults? You see, it's very easy for us to see faults in others and very difficult for us to see faults in ourselves. That's our defect. Prabhupada said you should be strict with yourself and lenient with others. But we have a tendency to be strict with others and lenient with ourselves. See? So we have to understand we have this tendency. And it's bad. We have to reverse it. We have to always look for the good in others. I mean, sometimes, you know, we're just like, sometimes we just actually we get like grossed out by another person. Ugh, you know. But we should realize this is just simply our own envy, you know. We're envious. We're just envious creatures. We have to understand another way of is how would Prabhupada see this person? That's I find is a very helpful tip. Sometimes, you know, I've had some serious disagreements with various god brothers, and you know, sometimes there was some anger or whatever, so that came out, you know, some harsh words I could say, or some strong words, and it really got patched up. So how am I gonna? How should I see that devotee? But I never really, we had a conflict. It was never even patched up. You know, I don't see him anymore. He's in some other part of the world. I may never see him for another 5 or 10 years, and I may never see him again. But that remembrance of those harsh words lingers in the heart. So what do I do about that? Well, I think, well, how does Prabhupada see him? How much does Prabhupada appreciate him? And that way, I try to see. You see. We're not so magnanimous to always see the good in someone, but how would Prabhupada see this person? How much he would appreciate this person? That is very helpful. Meditation. One day there was one of the sannyasis was sitting there with Prabhupada in his quarters in Los Angeles, thinking, yes, I'm a big sannyasi. Prabhupada had given him so much importance. This is sannyasi. Even one time, he went out traveling and preaching, and Prabhupada said, "You are traveling and preaching, and I'm just eating and sleeping," Prabhupada told him. He gave him so much honor. So he's sitting there with Prabhupada, and of course, Prabhupada wasn't doing that, it was his humility. But he's sitting there with Prabhupada thinking, yes, I'm a sannyasi, big preacher. And there was some Brahmacharini there arranging Prabhupada's desk. And Prabhupada was simply interested to see how much love and devotion this Brahmacharini was doing the arrangements there on the desk. He completely ignored the big sannyasi. He saw the love and devotion of this simple Brahmacharini, you see. So we have to understand that Prabhupada can, he doesn't care what your position is. He wants to see how much love you have in your heart for Krishna and doing your service. And so we have to learn to see like Prabhupada sees. You see? Prabhupada Chakshus. We have to see through the eyes of Prabhupada. How would Prabhupada see this person? It's very important. That will help us to get over this fault finding criticism loop. Try it, it works. Next question.
What's the appropriate rhythm for a person to advance in Krishna consciousness? Like, should he give up all his unfavorable habits at once, or should he approach it step by step?
Should one get to advance nicely, should one give up one's bad habits all at once, or gradually step by step? The best thing is to give them all up at once. If you can't do that, do it gradually. You shouldn't think, well, if I can't give them up all at once and it's hopeless, I'm just going to forget about it. Nor should you gradually give them up if you could give them up all at once. So ideally, you should give them up all at once, but if you can't do that, give them up gradually. You see. It's like it's ideal for a man to be a brahmachari and not get married. That tendency we have to enjoy women, the man has to enjoy women, it's better to give it up completely and be a brahmachari for life. But let's say someone can't do that, you know, they're too much, they want to enjoy a woman's company, they really have that desire, they can't give it up all. All right, then let them give it up gradually as a householder. You see. So the best thing is to give it up all at once. If you can't do that, then give it up gradually. In this way.
How do we know that we can give them up gradually?
How do you know?
That you can give them up.
Well, in the Vedic culture, everyone tries to make it as a brahmachari, you see. And if they, up to the age 25, everybody tries to make it as a brahmachari, and if it, by that time they'll know if they're cut out for it or not. You try first of all for the ideal thing, to give it up completely. And now for women it's a different standard, because we encourage all women to get married. And I'm giving an example. You could apply it to any person, any kind of habits. The same principle could be applied to anything. For a man or a woman, but I'm just giving an example. But the same principle can apply to a man and a woman in terms of different types of habits. Does that answer your question? Okay. Next question. Back there, yes.
How can we avoid the offense to the holy name of keeping material attachments, although hearing so many instructions on?
Yeah. So she's referring to the 10th offense against the holy names, which is to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. So how can you avoid committing that offense? In other words, how does one give up material attachments? Attachment is not unnatural. Attachment is natural. In fact, that is the first stage of pure love of God. It's called asakti, the stage of attachment. So we are not against attachment. The Mayavadis, they are against attachment. They simply want detachment. But they haven't learned how to become detached from detachment. Therefore, their detachment is imperfect. The Vaishnava is perfect in detachment because he becomes completely attached to Krishna. By his attachment to Krishna, therefore he loses all the attachments for mundane attachments. So the simple formula is try to become more attached to Krishna in every possible way. It's like become attached to reading beautiful paintings of Krishna, become attached to reading Prabhupada's books, become attached to offering service, become attached to every single devotional activity, chanting, playing the madanga, playing the harmonium, singing bhajans. Try to find more and more and more and more ways, going to the holy dham. Try to find more and more ways, hearing different lectures, reading books. Try to find more and more and more ways you can become attached to Krishna consciousness. I remember when I first joined, my mind was flooded with so many remembrances of all these things that I thought were really interesting that I had done. And then I realized they were all garbage. You know, when I met Vishnujan Swami, it was all garbage. But you know, I thought they were really cool, really interesting things I had done. You know, as a songwriter, I had played a gig one time with some famous bands. I thought it was a pretty cool thing. So I had all these attachments. But then I realized that right now my mind is filled of all these things that I thought were really neat that I did before I came to the movement. But then I realized that while I'm in the movement, I'm going to get a new set of experiences that my mind will become attached to, and gradually that will become so big that everything else will be pushed aside, and that's what happened, you see. This festival, you know, that lecture, this moment with Prabhupada, this letter from Prabhupada, just, you know, 41 years now of experiences, and now those other things are just completely, you know, relegated to non-importance in my psyche, you see. They don't fade. In the beginning, my mind was flashing back on all these activities, you see, before I became a devotee. But now they're so far in the past, it's just like a bad dream I was having, you know. Now I'm living in this reality of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada's movement, Lord Chaitanya's mercy flooding the universe. You know, it's a whole different world. So you just have to find a new attachment, a whole bunch of new attachments. You know, like devotees will get attached to a certain devotee, you know, a certain guru, and get initiated. That's an attachment, you see. That attachment helps somebody becoming attached to a particular spiritual master and wanting to become initiated by him. That attachment will help you to get free of material attachments. Now I have my guru. It's like as a special thing, you see. Devotee will finally reach a point, they get attached, they hear different gurus, and they finally get attached to one. Wow, this one I like the best. This one really, you know, this one gives me the strongest buzz of Krishna consciousness. So this is the one I want to be my spiritual master. So then you get attached to your guru. You have his picture, you offer arti to his picture, you offer prasadam to his picture. This is attachment. So in this way, you get more and more attached to Prabhupada, to your spiritual master, to the devotees. The more you spend time with the devotees, you develop more and more attachment for the devotees, serving nicely in the association of devotees. So it's simply a matter of increasing your spiritual attachments, and then those material attachments will just fade away into nothingness in due course of time. It doesn't happen overnight, but gradually they do all go away. They just go away, because you get a... they're getting a higher taste, you know. The material attachments, they are a lower taste, and the spiritual attachments are a higher taste. So gradually, all the lower taste attachments just, they get shuffled aside. I don't need them. Not important to me anymore. It's like a little kid, you know. He's so attached to his red fire truck. Ah. Oh. He plays with his red fire truck. He's so attached to it. If you took it away from him, he'd be screaming and crying. He'd go crazy if you took his red fire truck away from him. But 20 years later, where's his red fire truck? Now he's got a fancy Mercedes, you know. Who cares about that? I don't even know where that... I had no idea where my red fire truck... Now I'm driving this Mercedes Benz, you see. I have no idea where that red fire truck is. You have no idea where it is, you see. So that's what it's like. You get attached. Krishna is like the Mercedes, and your material desires are like that red fire truck, you see. Any other questions? Yeah?
May I please ask, how should we deal with the disease when we are in a disease stage?
How do you...
With a disease state of the body.
if you have a disease,
keep thinking on that particular disease. How can we deal with that problem?
How do you deal with having a disease?
Yes, thinking all the time to the disease. Thinking all the time
about the disease.
Yes.
Yes, I can speak from experience. Actually, I've been suffering with this from a very acute disease since I was 16. Disease of the ears. It's called tinnitus. And also I have hyperacusis. So I can speak from experience. My ears are... it's like I'm in a forest right now with about 10,000 crickets chirping in concert. And I've been hearing them nonstop since I was 16. And now I'm almost through. Almost 50 years. Going on in a couple, another year from now, it'll be 50 years. I've been suffering this disease. In fact, I just got an email from one of my aspiring disciples. Her husband has the same disease, and he is completely going mad. He can't handle it. He's completely going crazy with the same disease that I have. But I can handle it. Is it? Because I'm Krishna conscious. Doesn't bother me. But he completely bothers him. He can't even function. He's just going crazy with this disease that I have. Constant ringing in the ears. So the key is to use that disease to help you increase your Krishna consciousness. That's the key. You may say, well, where would you do that? It's like you have epileptic fits, you know. How do you use that disease to increase your Krishna consciousness? But that's what you have to do. You have to tatte nukam tam sushamikshama no bunjana ve vatma kitam babakam tadvagbava vurdanamaste jivete yo mukti padesa sadaya bhagavatam. My dear Lord, those devotees who were suffering the reactions for their previous mass misdeeds, all the while offering you respectful obeisances from within the core of their hearts, are certainly eligible candidates for liberation. Indeed, it has become their rightful claim. So, wow, I got this disease. I got a heavy dose of tinnitus, hyperacusis, nerve damage. I got a whole bunch of problems in my ears. Very deafness. Maybe you noticed. What was that? What was that? Is it? Obviously, you can see. I don't hear well. So, what I do with that? Well, I understand I'm burning off the reactions in some of my past misdeeds. And what does that do when you burn off the reactions in some of your past misdeeds? That means you're getting purified. Just like the holy name purifies you, disease also purifies you. Every time you have an epileptic fit, you're getting purified, you see? Of past karma. You're burning off past karma. So instead of being discouraged by it, think, wow, I burned off some more karma. Great. You see? Some more karma burned off now. So in this way, and it's very hard because the mind is freaking out. Oh my God, this is horrible. Krishna, why are you doing this to me? You know, there's a tendency to think that way. But you got to just, you got to take that mind and give it a good slap. Mind, shut up. Shut up, mind. I'm going to see this thing shastrically. I'm not going to let my emotions carry me away. I'm going to see this thing shastrically. And understand I'm being blessed by this disease. You see, it's a blessing. And Krishna can relieve me from it in a minute if he wants to. I can be instantly cured. Just like lepers in Chaitanya Leela got instantly cured. Krishna wants to instantly cure me. He can do it within a second. No problem for him. But I'm still suffering. That means Krishna wants me to continue suffering this for a certain reason to help purify me. So Krishna, whatever you want, I'm ready. If you want to give me cancer, it doesn't matter. Heart disease, it doesn't matter. You know? Multiple sclerosis, whatever you want to give me, I'm ready. Just let me never forget you, you see. This mood makes one dear to the Lord. of being willing to take whatever the Lord gives and not be angry at the Lord. Why are you giving this to me? No. You see. So in this way, one can utilize disease to increase one's Krishna consciousness. And guess what? Disease is a concomitant factor of mental anxiety also. So the more your mind is peaceful and happy, that helps to cure you. So to become bewildered by disease and anxiety about disease makes you more sick. But to see it transcendentally helps to cure you. So, see it transcendentally, Prabhu. Do yourself a favor. Be your own doctor. See whatever disease comes transcendentally, and that will help you to reduce the symptoms of the disease, actually. And ultimately, we're all going to die anyway, you know. That another way to see it is that Krishna has helped me to prepare myself from this idea that I can enjoy my body. So there's many, from many angles of vision, disease can be very, very helpful for Krishna consciousness. So enjoy your disease. In Krishna's service. Next question.
We are instructed to be transcendental to the modes of material nature, but in the same time, we should be situated in the mode of goodness. How can we apply this?
Sometimes we hear to situate ourselves in the mode of goodness. Sometimes we hear we should be situated transcendentally. Well, here's an example. Like tomorrow, I'm flying to India, okay? Now, when I'm in the air flying to India, that's like the transcendental platform. But being at the airport, that's like being in the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness is the airport. When you're actually in the air, that's the transcendental platform. This is a crude example, but the mode of goodness is the platform for entering into the transcendental realm. Now, you should not. If I go to the airport to get on the plane to go to Vrindavan, and this airport's so nice. It's Timisoara Airport. It's so nice. I think I just stay here at the airport. You see? Very crude example. Very, very, very crude example. This Timisoara Airport is so nice. I just want to stay here. No, don't be attached to the mode of goodness. Use the mode of goodness as a stepping stone to see the transcendental platform. But once you're on the transcendental platform, you don't need the mode of goodness anymore.
But what if it takes some effort to get to the mode of goodness?
It's like driving to the airport. You got to drive to the airport. It does take some effort.
But it might take some more effort, like, for example, we live in the city. Maybe this is like the mode of passion. Should we move to the...
Oh, now if you're talking about the temple is beyond the modes of nature. Now if you're talking about different living atmosphere, a temple, if you're just in a city and there's no Krishna consciousness there, that is the mode of passion, yeah. But this place is the spiritual world, you see. If you're connected with this place, you're not living in the mode of passion, you're living in the transcendental realm already. Just by regularly making this your psychological center of your activities. You all are coming regularly here. This is your psychological, this is where you're actually situated. You may be sleeping somewhere else, but this is where your heart and soul is, in this center here. So actually, you're not in the mode of passion. You're not living in the city. You're living in the Vaikuntha realm. You may be sleeping somewhere else, but this is your center of consciousness. This center here. So actually, you're already situated transcendentally just by being associated with the center. Next question.
Can you
Can a person in the sadhana platform have spiritual emotions?
Can a person in sadhana platform have spiritual emotions?
Can
a person or a devotee who is on a sadhana platform
experience spiritual emotions?
Yes,
of course. Prabhupada taught us in San Francisco. He said to the Ratha Yatri, he said, I am traveling all over the world and I am seeing that everywhere they are building skyscraper buildings in imitation of your country. So he said, if you Americans, therefore, will chant and dance in the ecstasy of emotional love of God, the whole world will follow you and there will be no more problems. So, Krishna consciousness doesn't mean to kill your emotions. Krishna consciousness means to turn on your emotions, actually. Like we have six loving exchanges by Rupa Goswami, six ways we should have loving emotional relationships with Vaishnavas. It's described in the Upadeshamrita. So, we all have emotions, and now we're being cheated by those emotions being engaged in the service of Maya. We're being cheated by giving our love in the wrong place. Just like Vishnujan Maharaj, he had one little song. He said, instead of loving a dog or a cat, give your love to Krishna who made all of that. You see? So, the point is that we have love, we have emotions. Don't deny them. That's Mayavad. Mayavad is they want to kill emotions. Love is a four-letter word, you see. Kill emotions. No, we don't say love is bad. We say loving Maya is bad. Take your tendency, your emotional tendency, and repose it in Krishna. Repose it in Guru. Repose it in Vaishnavas, you see. Take that loving tendency. I remember the first time I went to the Holy Dham, it was a very powerful emotional experience for me. I was just emotionally completely overwhelmed. Even going to India, I was just, it was like I had returned to my home from my previous lifetime. It was so emotionally powerful, I just couldn't believe it. It was such a powerful emotional experience, and I didn't deny that or try to suppress it. I just let it flow. I just let it flow. Because I realized that this is that being an attachment for Krishna's holy dham is transcendental. And if I feel some emotions about the holy dham, it's beautiful and it's wonderful. I've been blessed. I had very strong emotional experience in Mayapur and Vrindavan both. And I realized this is a great blessing. I'm not going to deny it. You see. Some devotees would say, oh, they thought it was sahaja. But that devotee blooped, actually. One of the leaders said, oh, this is... He made fun of it. He heard about my emotions I was feeling about the Dham. And he left the movement after that. He fell down, well, this is X. Left the movement. But I'm still here. By Krishna's grace. Not that I should be proud of it, but it's by the grace of Prabhupada, I'm still here. If I'm proud of it, then I'm the next one to fall down. I got to be careful. So the emotions in Krishna consciousness are very good. You see, we used to feel devotees felt so much emotions when Prabhupada came. Everybody was crying. You see, everybody was crying. Big tall men, big strong bodied men were crying. Women, everybody was crying. You see, when Prabhupada was here, very strong emotions were there. Of course, you can see the video. When Prabhupada left his body, all these sannyasis are weeping like babies, you know. Actually, Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam purport, it is the duty of the disciple to cry when his spiritual master leaves the body. His duty to cry. You're supposed to become emotional when your spiritual master leaves the planet. So we were all crying, the whole movement. We were crying all over the whole world. Many buckets of tears when Prabhupada left the planet. You see? And that crying was purifying our hearts. helping us to become more attached to Srila Prabhupada. Okay, we got 5 minutes left. Anything else? Yeah?
How is it that we don't trust Krishna even if we hear so many things from him?
Even though we
hear so many things about Krishna.
Actually, we do love Krishna. But in the roundabout way, that's the problem. We love him, his energy. Like Ravana, he loved Sita. He didn't like Ravana. But Sita is the energy of Ravana. So we do love Krishna, but roundabout way. That's not a very intelligent thing. It's like if you want to scratch your nose, you can scratch it directly like this. Or you can try a roundabout way. Scratch your nose, you see. So we are trying to love Krishna roundabout way by serving his material nature. And that's very difficult. With great endeavor, we try to get some enjoyment by serving his energy instead of serving him directly. Similarly, you haven't been educated properly. Just imagine some little kid grows up and his parents tell him, don't scratch your nose like this. You must scratch it like this because this is the proper etiquette. If you scratch it this way, it's very rude and it's offensive. So you should never scratch your nose like this. You must always scratch your nose like this. And he grew up like that, so he's accustomed to it. Doesn't even think anything of it. He automatically just scratches his nose like this. Doesn't even think about it, because it's his habit. He was trained that way. So that's the material world. We're trained to enjoy by giving our love to the energy of the Lord instead of the Lord himself. So you just have to get straight. Now, what do you need? That's why we need devotee association. That's why we need scriptures. That's why we need guru. Because these three enlightening, these three sources of enlightenment, sadhu, shastra, and guru, they straighten us out. What are you doing scratching your nose that way? Don't you know it's a waste of energy and time and it doesn't really work? Scratch your nose like this. Chant Hare Krishna, you see. You see, it's a matter we have to be educated, though. We've been badly mistrained, and now we have to be properly trained. We've got time for one more question, or maybe two of our quickies. Yeah.
Something personal. How have you joined ISKCON? How have you joined ISKCON?
How did I join ISKCON? 2 minutes, you want me to answer that question? How about 2 hours? Wow. Well, let's see if I can kind of summarize it. It'd be in 2 or 3 minutes. Basically, I'll try to give a brief thumbnail sketch of the whole thing. But basically, you know, as in high school, my dad said, son, when your college days are going to be the happiest days of your life. And when I got there, I was completely miserable. And I thought, wow, what? What is my life going to be like now, you know? So then I started looking and searching, you know, what is the meaning of life? Because this, obviously, what my dad taught me was it doesn't work, you know. I got to find out on my own now, you know. So in our dorm, all the boys, many of the guys were talking philosophy, and it was very popular. In my dorm, we had many philosopher types in the dorm, you know. My roommate was really into heavy philosophy and theology. And so, you know, I started thinking about, what is the purpose of life? And how can I find out? And my professors couldn't tell me. The courses couldn't tell me. And I went for like 2 years completely like depressed, morose, not knowing what's going on. I finally transferred to a different school where there was a big countercultural thing happening there. The hippies were there reading books on Eastern philosophy. So I met some of them in the school, and they told me about the self-realization process, and I went, wow, that sounds like what I'm looking for. So I got the courses, and they told me to meditate on a candle, and I saw this isn't working. And I went to another guru. He said that I'm God, you're God, we're all God. I tried to do that, it didn't work. Because I was suffering like anything while this was. And I paid 1 month's rent to learn TM, Transcendental Meditation. You know, and that didn't work. Became a disciple of Maharishi Mahayogi, you know, and I was taught to learn and chant this secret mantra, you know, Aing, 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 Aing. That didn't work. So I just, well, how am I ever going to get out of this misery? You know, I heard there was gurus, but self-enlightened gurus who can liberate you from all your anxiety. Where am I going to find one, you know? And anyway, some friends of mine invited me to come up to Denver. I moved up, got away from Texas, moved up there. And I, one of my friends, one night he just dropped into the house. There was one of the fellows had gone crazy on LSD. And they wanted to get away from him. They came to my house to hide out so Joe couldn't find us where we were. He was gone crazy. He'd taken all his clothes off. He was running around naked, saying there was LSD in the water and asking everybody to give him a drink of water. And they were afraid. They didn't want when the police came, they didn't want to be identified with him because they were afraid they'd be arrested. So they all came to my apartment. They knocked on the door. And my friend Patrick was the lead person there. He said, "Open the door. Don't turn on the light." And they came in and they're really frightened, you know, because they were. And he said, "Everybody chant this mantra: Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare." You know, protect them. Hare Krishna. And I went, "Wow, what is this?" Because I was looking for a meditational thing, you know. So I went over to his house the next day. What was that mantra you're chanting? I got it written down, and I started, I got a book, a Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada Gita wasn't Prabhupada Gita, but there was no purport, no commentary. I got a Gita from the library. I got a picture of Radha Govinda. I started worshiping Radha Govinda and chanting Hare Krishna every evening and offering my vegetarian food to the Lord. I didn't know about the movement, but I was doing this. And then I realized I can't be part of this material world. I'm just going to go to India and be a mendicant. I can't handle it. You know, getting an education, getting a career. Nothing to do with it. I'm just going to go to India and be a sadhu for the rest of my life. That's it. So I told it a little bit the other day, and I was heading toward New York, east, you know, to catch a freighter, like, you know, to get a job on a freighter to go to India. Free passage by working on the freighter. And then something said, you should be going to San Francisco instead. So I went back there and I met the devotees. But still, I had been so schooled in this Mayavadi philosophy. It actually took me a couple of years to get over this. At the time, I was also becoming a popular singer. And that very much distracted me from the spiritual quest. Everybody said I was going to become another Bob Dylan. And, you know, I was being flattered by all these people, how I was a great singer and all this. So I was pretty sidetracked from the spiritual pathway. But then people started hating my music with Krishna's mercy. And they said how much they hated my music, and I got really serious about, you know, enlightenment again. And I was back in Austin, and I was reading the Bible every morning, trying to figure out. I knew Christ was a self-realized person. Now how can I become self-realized like Jesus? And I was trying to figure out what is the real secret of Lord Jesus's spiritual success. And one day I found it. I knew that was it. Christ said, "Father, not my will, but thy will be done." So now I was waiting for my voice from heaven tell me what Lord wanted me to do. But there was no voice coming. What to do? But then one day, this little girl actually, she told, it's a whole long other story in itself. One little girl told me that God could hear me. It's a whole long story, but in my autobiography, it'll all be in details. And then I realized, well, I can't hear God, but He can hear me. So I just started begging Him, "Dear God," it was my mantra. Every morning, "Dear God, please guide me how I can be your perfect servant." And one day there was a knock on the door. My friend, I was staying with a friend named Mike, and his friend Margaret, who lived half a block away, she came over and knocked on the door and said, "There's a Hare Krishna Swami in town. And he will be at my apartment in 1 hour." So I went down there to check out who was this Hare Krishna Swami, and who was it? His Holiness Vishnu Jana Maharaj. The Paramahamsa, the great Paramahamsa, had come to preach in Austin, and well, that was it. I just started associating with him, and it didn't take long for me to understand this is what God wanted me to do. I've been praying for guidance from the Lord, you see, how to become, you know, a Christ-like person, a pure devotee, you know, and Vishnu, and the Lord answered my prayer by sending Vishnu Jan Swami. And I realized, he invited me to move into the ashram, and I still was kind of a hardcore independent. I was thinking, you know, I'll be like George Harrison, I'll write songs about Krishna and do my own thing independently. I was thinking like that. But then one day, we just gotten that Radha Krishna Temple album. It had just been released from Apple Records, you know. Govinda Prayers. The second cut was Gravastakam. Samsaradavana lalita lokam. So, one morning, I was holding out. I'll be a devotee of Krishna, but I won't surrender to the Guru. Maybe some of you have that same mentality now. I don't know. But I heard the devotees singing Samsaradavana lalita lokam. Tranaya karyunaganaganadvam praptasya kalyana gunanavasya vande guroshi charanarvindam. And I was going, wow, they have so much love for Prabhupada. I don't know what they're tasting. They're in a different realm. They love Prabhupada and I'm holding myself back, you see. And I can understand they are tasting something very, very sublime that I'm not tasting. And then I thought, this thought came to my mind, wouldn't it be beautiful if I gave my life to Prabhupada? And then the tears just... And that was it. And it was just a matter of waiting till I had... 6 months was up so I could get initiated. But that was... That hearing the devotees singing Gravastakram, that was the straw that broke Steve Bridges' back and turned him into Sankarshan Das. Here, that love the devotees were experiencing for Prabhupada, I didn't know that love, but I can understand that love was sweeter than anything I'd ever experienced in millions and billions of lifetimes in this material existence. And the only way I could taste it was to surrender to Prabhupada. So that moment, Prabhupada entered my heart, and he hasn't ever lived. So that's a thumbnail version. Only took about 10 minutes, not so bad. Okay, so we'll stop here. And we thank my Vishnu Priya Mataji and I thank you all very, very much for so lovingly and graciously. Especially in Rari Krishna Prabhu, your leader here, we really have to thank all of you for so wonderfully opening your hearts to us. And we hope that we haven't been too offensive to you all. So we're heading out tomorrow, like at 4:30 a.m. Catch our flight to, actually on the way to India tomorrow. Holy Dham, Sri Vrindavan Dham. But we'll be taking it with us in our hearts. So we thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.
Sri Shankar Shankar Prabhu
ki jai.
Mata Vishnu Priya ki jai.